Our gospel reading for today comes from John, the 6th chapter, reading verses 67 through 69. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Precious loving God, as we gather here in this moment and this time, you remind us, Lord, that we come into the spaces that we are with the noises of the outside world. And too often we look to you to fix them, God. Instead, you offer us space where we can come and repent, be restored, and be refreshed. So as we listen for your word today, for each of us, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And may we be transformed by the message that you have for us on today. Speak to us, Lord. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Psalms are wonderful reminders of what it is to give God praise, to cry out in sorrow to God, to ask God for protection for self and for those around us. We often sing the Psalms in liturgy, or as we just did today, read them responsively. Over the last 3 weeks, we have been journeying with the Psalms. We learned in Psalm 100 about making a joyful noise to shout for all the earth. For all the earth, meaning all of creation. In Psalm 13, we were reminded of God's steadfast love. And we heard the psalmist cry out, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" In that psalm, we heard lament and pain and anguish. We also learned that in the midst of all those moments of suffering, God remains with us. Last week, we reflected on the very familiar psalm of comfort, Psalm 23. We visited the rich imagery of a good shepherd, protecting us, giving us moments of rest, leading and directing us, being our ever-present companion. Today in Psalm 30, we hear again the psalmist moved through lament, pain, anger, and gratitude. The cry of God turning his face is also present in verse 7. "You hid your face, I was dismayed." In the Psalms, we have seen a rhythm of praise, questioning, doubting, wondering where God is, and resolving that no matter what and how difficult it may be, even in the darkest valleys, God's steadfast love remains faithful and true. God patiently journeys with us, waiting for us to recognize that no matter what the difficulty we face, God will not, have not, nor will ever abandon us. And so God waits for us to see God's face in all that is happening around us and within us and within each other. God is patient. God is kind. God is loving. The Apostle Paul writes the often repeated passage of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is probably a very familiar passage that many of us have heard if we've ever attended a wedding. That imagery of love is painted for us as a reminder to the couple to strive for this lofty, lofty image of love. Who is that template? God. God is that template of love, a God that is steadfast, unmovable and consistent, who is gracious to allow us space to mourn, to cry out in anguish, to yell in our frustration, and even to question God's presence among us and with us, when the things we see with our human eyes seem to contradict this love. I suspect that each of us have had moments when something challenged us and caused us to question and to cry out. This week alone, we saw the massive destruction of a building, the home of so many, collapse as if it was a pile of dominoes. The number of lives lost or unaccounted for is still growing. And we see imagery of places. We also see imageries of places flooded out with recent storms here in our communities and in neighboring states. The number of people dying from gun violence does not seem to be stopping. And the COVID deaths are still occurring around the world, as are the deaths from AIDS and other diseases. How long seems such an appropriate cry? Yet how many times have we turned our backs on God? How many times do we fail to answer God's invitation to be loving? In our gospel today, we encounter the disciples' faith in one of those moments. Before the passage you heard read, Jesus was teaching about the gift of eternal life himself. Jesus said he was the bread of life, and through him no one will ever be hungry or thirsty, that by eating his flesh and drinking his blood, they would have eternal life. And if we were in our buildings together, we would be able to see our beautiful altar displayed with the bread and the wine, Jesus' body and blood before us. But in our spaces today, we have them individually. For us, that is such a powerful message that we long for it each Sunday. But for those hearing this message, some became offended by his teaching. The scripture tells us that many of his disciples left. The initial 12 stood there, I suspect, wondering what they should do. And how do we know that they were confused, uncertain about what they heard? Because Jesus asked them, "Do you also wish to go away?" This question was so full. I can imagine that in addition to what Jesus said, "Do you also wish to go away?" that there must have been so many other thoughts filled in that. Will you continue to stand by me when all around you have left? When what you hear and see does not make sense, will you still stand by me? Will you still follow me? Will you still accept the invitation to journey with me even when it hurts? Are you willing to suffer with me, bear pain on my behalf and for my people? Are you willing to still love me in the good times and the not so good? Of all the last 3 years we spent together, laughing, crying, teaching, healing, been enough evidence for you that I am the one that say that I am the one that I say I am. Are you still with me? I can almost see the look on Jesus' face. The divine essence of Jesus already knowing the answer, but the human essence. The man who spent 3 years with those he now calls friends, wondering, did they have his back? As many times as he has stood there with them, will they now stand with him? This almost sounds like a cliffhanger moment if we were in a movie theater. What will their responses be? And we wait with our breath held. And Peter gives the answer that relieves the tension of the moment. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Yes, the acceptance they have seen and heard Jesus teaching, they accept him for who he says he is. but have they completely? For among them is Judas, the one who will betray him, and Peter, the one who will deny him. The beauty of Peter's response is the simplicity of the response. It is the realization that though they may still be uncertain, and though they don't fully understand, they are committed through faith to continue on the journey of trusting Jesus. The journey of acceptance that they may not always have answers or be clear about the answers they receive, but they can always be clear that Jesus is trustworthy. That is the same question that Jesus invites us to participate in. Will you stay with me? Will you walk with me? Will you choose me like I have chosen you? This trust is the same trust we see in the psalmist who says, no matter where I go, you will stay with me. You took me from the pit of death and you stay with me. It is the confidence that those things may be difficult and there may be seasons in which all looks bleak. There's a reassurance of God's abiding presence. The NRSV says, you will turn my mourning into dancing. But the Message translation says it this way. The nights of crying your eyes out give way to days of laughter. The nights of crying our eyes out will give way to days of laughter. It doesn't matter if it's one night, two nights, a week, a month, a year of crying, because God's laughter will always be able to sustain us. Siblings in Christ, this is the hope and the promise. That God's presence with us will always produce moments of joy and laughter, even in the suffering, the pain, the struggles, and the uncertainty. Yes, our God is more than able to turn our mourning into dancing. Amen.